believe in the Son. I believe in the risen one. I believe I overcome by the power of his blood. Amen. Amen. I'm alive because he lives. Amen. Amen. Let my song join the one that never ends, because he lives.
Thank you. morning. From our family to your family, from your families to everyone else's family, happy Easter. And did you notice when we were looking at all those family pictures, the smiles that were on those faces? Because he lives. And that's what we celebrate this morning. And again, I'm so glad that you chose to be with us on this resurrection morning. I'm going to have Pastor Taylor come and give us a few announcements before we continue on this morning.
All right, good morning. As far as the announcements go, we just to thank you for staying connected with us for our different services and for checking in for our little Easter story for the kids with Mrs. Tippett this morning. And that's still available for those who haven't been able to access that. You can go to our website or you can go to our YouTube channel and be able to check in there. But I encourage you to keep getting on with these services and watching, interacting, communicating with each other. That's our way of staying connected during this time. There is, like I said, a YouTube channel, which every day, Monday through Friday during the week, there we post a teen lesson and a kids lesson that your kids can be able to check into. And I've even heard some of the adults just being able to enjoy these lessons. So please check into that, subscribe, share. Even people from outside of our church is interacting with that channel. And I'm really excited about all the different opportunities that we have there with that. So lots of ways you can stay connected. If you are visiting with us, you've never come to our church before, and you're being able to connect with us online and you're in the area, we'd love for you to go to our website. And in the Easter tab of our website, there is an area where you could put in your information. So we can connect with you. And if you are in our area, we'd love to give you a gift. And we'd love to take that by and obviously connect with you either online or after this whole commotion's over, we can connect with you in person. But if you'd like to fill out that information, and that way we can have that connection with you, that would be absolutely wonderful. And then if you're asking, how can I give? Well, there is a tab online on our website that you can give through. There's a platform there, a giving platform, or you can mail in your giving, or you can drop it by here from 9 to noon, Monday through Friday. You can drop by your offering, and we'll be able to receive that, put it in the safe, and have it all ready to go. There's several other things that we'd like to let you know about. And one of those things is if you are in need of a gallon of milk, we have come to 12 of those. They're in our refrigerator here at the church. And so if you need that, you can come in tomorrow from 9 to noon and be able to get one of those. There was some extra stock that we were able to get. And so if you need that, please come on in tomorrow from 9 to noon and we'll be able to give you a gallon of milk. Also, there's a few other things that we want to tell you about. One of those things, if you could get on our Facebook page, there is a link to an app called Dwell. And that is actually an audio Bible that several of our people have enjoyed listening to. They've got different plans that you can listen to, just listening right through a book or a book of the Bible or just a chapter or whatever it might be. There's some themed plans that you can listen to. Go ahead and go through that link and sign up through there. And we have that free for over a month here left. And so you'd be able to enjoy that as well. As well as there is a, I don't know if you've heard, but Sight and Sound Theaters, they are offering their Jesus film through TBN, that app, or through the channel. You can go online and check that out and watch that today for free. So that's just another option for you. And then we've had the Stewart family here this past Thanksgiving. They are going to be having a little mini concert on Facebook at, I believe it's 5 our time, 6 their time. And so if you could check in through their page, it's just another opportunity on this day to enjoy a Christ focus for today, this Easter Sunday, this Resurrection Sunday. So that's it for as far as all the announcements that I have for you. I hope you are able to stay connected. Let us know how we can be of help and service to you during this time.
We first saw the loud crowd as we passed by the Western City Wall, past that magnificent structure known as Herod's Palace. Fortress, actually. And truth be told, as magnificent as this structure was, our attention was quickly diverted to the loud screaming and wailing, and all of it seemed to be centering on some badly beaten individual, blood oozing from his head, his back, his legs.
Not a native to the area, I pass this happening off as some dangerous criminal receiving his just reward for a life of crime. As one whose family frequently traveled the dangerous roads hereby, I was encouraged to think this act might actually make the lives of travelers less hazardous. The loud crowd that had gathered seemed to be receiving great enjoyment from witnessing the fierce beating directed towards this criminal. In fact, these people, who I could see as normally friendly shopkeepers and housewives, seemed to work themselves into a mad fury, hurling curses and insults as well as blows when the criminal came sufficiently close to them. Their disdainful words made little sense to me. How is it for you now, King of the Jews?
King of the Jews? How could they be calling this criminal King of the Jews? I thought that was the title Herod claimed for himself. And from what I know of Herod, he would never allow anyone to take that title from him. Well, it happened. Another person screamed and clubbed this criminal to the ground. They yelled at him, "You call yourself the Son of God, a prophet, the Messiah? Then tell us, who's going to be the next one to hit you?"
The Son of God? Surely this man's crime was something less laughable than that. It seemed like every other week there would surface some demented fool claiming to be the long-awaited Messiah. And each time this happened, the deranged person would be the laughingstock of the day, taunted and kicked out of town. But surely no one would lay this kind of beating on the man.
Through it all, off to the side at a respectable distance, there stood Herod next to Pilate. Now, this must have been a truly momentous occasion to have those two standing next to each other. And then came this cry that it quickly gathered momentum and intensity among the fever-pitched crowd. Crucify him.
Crucify him? Were they asking that this man be crucified for an offense as trifling as making the insane claim to be the son of the exalted Yahweh? Even Pilate objected to this command, offering that the person instead be whipped and released. But the people would have no part of this. This only served to bring on louder and louder demands for death by crucifixion.
There were also several women about, crying softly, not speaking. One woman, likely in her late 40s, I would presume, she was particularly distraught. And as the crowd pushed and shoved and jostled each other, she seemed to get moved closer to where I was standing, and I could hear her voice sounding strangely like a prayer.
My son. As some of the other women gathered about her attempting to console her, I, shocked, realized this woman was mother to the poor wretch at the center of this demonstration. Looking more closely in her face, I saw the sorrow-filled eyes.
the deep worry wrinkles, making her appearance represent one twice her biological age. Off to the side, I saw men lurking about, not partaking in the gory sport of the insane crowd, silent supporters of a beaten man, I assumed.
With the thundering demands of this bloodthirsty crowd driving them on, the soldiers, they started that painful journey to a skull-shaped hill outside the city walls called Golgotha. Now, the distance to travel was not very long. It was just a mere walk in the midday. But for the man who was to be crucified, the walk was made nearly impossible as he dealt with the pain and the blood loss. To make it even worse, the wounded man was forced to carry his own crossbeam to Golgotha.
Once there, the soldiers began the gruesome task of nailing his hands to the cross piece, raising him up on the upright beam. Next, his feet were nailed to the upright beam. Once experienced, one could never forget the sound of the cold, hard steel slicing through flesh and bone, nor the ringing sound of hammer on steel nails.
All that was left for the crowd was to watch the life drain from that weakened body. I watched in amazement as the woman, the mother, she stood at the foot of the cross and watched her son suffer indignities that no mother should have to witness. Her raw hurt was so brutally apparent, but as well, there radiated from her a sense that this tragedy somehow had to be, as though it was predestined in the long ago past.
After the last painful breath escaped the body of that man on the cross, the crass and aggressive Roman soldiers turned strangely silent. The centurion in charge was so moved by the events of the day that he exploded. Surely this was the Son of God.
Surely this was the Son of God. I watched in stunned silence as some friends of the dead man came to take his body for burial. In some strange, unexplainable and highly impacting way, this horrific, ghastly, yet marvelous happening had burrowed deeply into my mind. Something at that moment on that cruel hill caused me to seek out the mother of the dead man. With words pouring from my lips, I tried to explain to Mary how I seemed to have been changed because I had witnessed these events.
With a sad smile and a kind touch of her hand, she connected with me, saying, "Come stay with us and wait for the third day's coming. Then you shall know what all of this is about, and you will be changed forever." And I did. And I am.
From afar, it's about the cross. not all about the good things in this life I've done. It's not all about the treasures or the trophies that I've won. It's not all about the righteousness that I find within. It's all about His precious blood that saves me from.
Jesus came to be born once
so that we could be born again. It's about the soul that was rolled away so that you and I could have real life someday.
It's about the cross.
The beginning of the story is wonderful and great. Save you, and that's why we celebrate.
It's about the cross. It's about my sin. It's about how Jesus came to be born once so that we could be born again. It's about my soul.
Tremendous song. The message is so very powerful, and I hope you not just enjoyed it, but that you let it speak to your heart. As we continue on with our service this morning, I'm going to ask that you just continue to do that, just to allow the truths of God's word to speak to your heart. We're going to sing together now a familiar Easter song. The words will be provided for you. And we're just going to take some time together. If you're seated in your living room, you can remain seated or you can stand. This is a song I think we need to stand for when we sing it. Christ Arose.
Amen. Would you join us in standing in your hymnals? You should find one close by, number 185. If you join us, number 185, we'll sing all three verses this morning of Christ Arose. Number 185, on that first verse begins, "Lo, in the grave he lay," lifted up together now on this first verse.
Oh,
verse. It's too good to just run through once. Death could not keep his prey. He tore the bars away. Lift up on that last verse one more time, all together now.
Have your Bibles handy, please go ahead and open them. At this time, I want to share with you a few thoughts, some of what we just heard there. Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 8. I'll go ahead and read those. It says, "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulcher, bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. And they entered in, found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He's not here, but he is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. So what should we remember? It's Easter, Easter comes around every year. This Easter's different. A lot of things that we're used to doing at Easter time, we're not able to do this year. I think probably for the last 2 weeks, at least two or three, maybe four times a week for the last 2 weeks, my oldest grandson has been reminding us about, remember going to the park and finding Easter eggs? And he just wasn't understanding that wasn't going to happen this year. A lot of things are different this year. So what should we remember? I think we should remember why Christ came. The story of Christ. Remember that. He came to this earth as a baby. That's our Christmas time celebration. And when he came with no pomp. He came with no pageantry. There weren't any media blitzes announcing his coming. There wasn't the Facebook and other social media announcements prepping the road for him to come. He just came. There was no plan in place to market himself. There was no plan that once he got here, how is he going to build his kingdom? How is he going to generate and build this movement? At least no plans that we would think of. I mean, if we were doing this, there would be strategic plans to do miracles in key locations, making sure the media was there, making sure the cameras were running so the YouTube channels could be filled with everything that he was doing. So there would be these strategic plans on when, where, and how to do these miracles to heal people. Jesus did that. He healed the leopard. He healed the blind people. He fed the 5,000 people with just one lunch. Of course, then we would have plans as well for him to raise the dead on occasion. Remember Lazarus? He did that. There would be plans perhaps to have him demonstrate his control of the elements as he did when he calmed the storm, when he calmed the seas. Now, Christ, he did do miracles. But it was not to implement his plan of growing his movement. It was not to implement his plan of building a bigger church. He did these miracles to show that he was the Son of God. There would be plans, if we were in charge, we would have plans to maneuver his popularity, to challenge the authorities. We got to do this at the right time and just the right way so that we can gain control, so that we can begin building support. We've got to have plans to get people to like him. We've got to do things a certain way so that people will like Jesus. We would plan to get people and do things in a certain way so that people would feel good about him, so that they would then want to follow him. Those would be our way of doing things. In fact, for some people, that's their way of doing things today. But those were not his way. See, Christ had a different plan. His plan wasn't to come and take over. It wasn't to take over the government. It wasn't to take over any religious institution or organization. It wasn't a plan to take over social media and have his videos go viral. No, it wasn't even to come and be liked. That wasn't his plan. His plan was to come and die. Jesus said in John 5 and verse 30, he said, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. His plan was to do what God had sent him to do. Now, God's plan, it was different from what ours might be. So then we have to remember why Christ died. In Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, Christ tells us why he came. Verse 10, it says, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Folks, we are the lost. Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, a verse many are familiar with, but if you're not, look at the words of this verse. "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." All is me and you, every member of Grace Baptist Church. We are all included in all. Even that good person you know down the street. All have sinned, and we all fall short of the glory of God. If you were to ask a person on the street, who do you think is the most righteous person that has ever lived, aside from Jesus, who is the most righteous person that you think has ever lived? Give them a moment to think about it. And after they come back to you with their answer, after you come back with your answer, even, would it be perhaps someone from long ago that has since passed away and they did a lot of good humanitarian things over their lifetime? Maybe it's the head of a religious organization, even. They are probably the most righteous person ever to live. God said they fall short of the glory of God, because we have all sinned. In fact, he also tells us in Romans 3 and verse 10, there is none righteous. None of us are righteous. My friend, what that means is none of us are good enough to go to heaven. None of us are ever good enough to go to heaven. So how did Jesus save? He saved by dying for us. Listen to these two verses, Hebrews 9 and 13. It says, "For if the blood of bulls and of goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, how much more shall that purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" Here God says it another way in Romans 6:23, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." That is how he saved, by dying. By dying, he was able to pay for the penalty of our sins and purchase for us eternal life. God's word, we just read it, tells us how he did that. And it wasn't just by dying. In Hebrews, again, 9:14, the blood of Christ, Christ offered himself without spot to God. He had never committed sin. He was the perfect sacrifice, something you and I can never do, because we all know we have all sinned. Therefore, we could never pay the penalty for our sin, but Jesus did. And Jesus offers eternal life to each one of us. He told his disciples this before he died, but they didn't understand. They didn't get it. In Luke chapter 24 and verse 7, I read this at the beginning. These two men saying to the women, "The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again." And they remembered his words. My friends, if you're saved, if you're a child of God, God's word tells us
the Holy Spirit causes us to remember. One of the purposes of Easter for us as Christians is to cause us to remember why we have it. Remember that we need a Savior. To remember that Jesus is that one that paid the penalty of our sin. To remember that Jesus paid our penalty. As you go to the store this week, if you go in and you grab your products that you're there to get, a limit of two, and you're heading towards the front door, and you just walk on out the doors, they kind of frown on that. I think they call that shoplifting. Why? Because you didn't pay for it. So they stop you, and you give them a sob story, or, I'm just so scatterbrained, I'm just not thinking clearly, I'm sorry. And they cut you a break, and you go back in the store, and you get in line, and you take your $5 purchase, and you give them $2, and you turn around and walk out. They're still going to stop you, because your debt hasn't been paid. Now, where am I going with this? Jesus paid our penalty completely. It's done. He didn't pay $4 out of $5, and we have to come up with the rest by being good people, going to church, giving money to the church, and praying, and doing, jumping through all kinds of religious hoops. No. That would mean, if that were the case, that would mean Jesus didn't quite pay at all when he died on the cross for us. But he did. And he paid all of our penalty. He suffered God's wrath. He died. His last words on the cross were, "It is finished." It's finished. Our payment is paid in full. Our payment for the penalty of our sin is finished being paid for. Nothing more to do. It was finished. And the pain for the penalty of our sin came to an end when Christ uttered those words. But then he rose from the grave on that third day. Listen now as we hear what his resurrection accomplished for us.
Thank you.
you will, turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. We saw that because he is risen, that means something. And I'd like to answer that something here today through the Word of God. What does that mean for me? How does that affect me? What is it based on? What difference does it make? And if you're here and you've never heard this message before, you've never heard the gospel, it still has a difference that it could be made on you here today. And it's based on something that is for sure. In fact, they've titled this the most secure in the whole world. And I could tell you, based on the Word of God and what God says, based on the character of God, based on all that He is, I am secure in my salvation. You can be too. Because He is risen. See, that was the catalyst, if you will, the reason why we can believe, the reason why we have purpose. He had to rise from the dead to conquer sin and death. It was all in one. It wasn't just dying on the cross, but 3 days later, rising again. And because he is risen, we can say all of these things, and we can be this and what he's put in 1 Peter chapter 1. You'll find here in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." And you say, blessed, what does that mean? The word blessed means praiseworthy, in this sense that he is praiseworthy. And what makes him so praiseworthy? Because you look out all over our world and you would say that there's a lot of craziness going on. And should we put that underneath, or put that those notches on his belt, in a sense? Is that what God's doing? And when we come back and say there's craziness, maybe you've lost your job, maybe you've lost some hours, there's so much fear and anxiety, and the suicide rate seems to be going up. You're saying, what's going on here? How can I be secure? Am I secure? Listen, God is praiseworthy. He is well deserved of what he has done based on who he is. So as we get into this, blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy. Why can I be secure? Because of God's mercy. Because of God's mercy, his character being shown to us, I am secure. If you are watching this, if you are listening in on this, if you are alive and breathing, God has bestowed his mercy upon you at this moment. You are still alive. You say, there's so much craziness going on. How is this mercy? It's mercy because what we deserve, as we just heard earlier, remember, the wages of our sin is death. And yet God gives us mercy. So according to his abundant, it's not just limited in a small amount where you might just get a sip, but you are fully hydrated with the mercy of God, that he doesn't wipe us off the face of the earth. He is loving us first so that we can love him back. This is not something that we deserve. It's not something that's based on our worth. It's based on his character, my salvation, my security. Based on his character, based on the fact that Christ rose again from the dead, based on his mercy, we have this. We're born again. According to his abundant mercy, hath begotten us again unto what? Unto a lively hope. Not only because of God's mercy are we secure, but because Jesus lives. And that's the main gist of today, but it's the main gist of every day of our lives. It's not a dead hope. It's a living hope. Because he is risen, we're trusting in a God who is very much alive, very much active, very powerful, very sovereign, very understanding, very loving, very righteous. And our God lives. God made a way to have the surest way possible to him. And that surest and only way is through his Son, who was the sacrifice for sin and yet is alive again. He's alive. How do you know? Over 500 people witnessed the very fact that he is alive. His word states that he is alive. This is what we can trust in. And you know, the very fact here that you can look to every other person out there, there is no one, no prophet, idol, false god, whatever it might be, that has resurrected from the dead. They can't put that on their resume within their own power. If you're trusting in a dead person to give you hope, stop. Because there is a living Jesus Christ offering hope to us today. So much greater than you can see anywhere else. Listen, this is how we are secure. He is a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's exactly what that verse states again. I'm going to say it again. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That is what we can trust in because he is risen. We can trust in the security of our salvation. And if you're not saved today, this is what you can look forward to if you finally just have faith in our God and what he's given for the best plan, the only plan. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. As we move forward in this passage, you'll see in verse 4, we're not only secure because of God's mercy, but because Jesus lives, but also because our salvation is unaffectable. Verse 4, it says, to inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. We are secure because our salvation cannot, will not, ever be affected. We are held in his hand, not ours. We are there because of Jesus, not us. This is what we can rest in. This is an incorruptible, undefiled, doesn't fade, reserved in heaven by our God for us. This is a lasting, forever, eternal, won't perish like the fruit that is in our refrigerator or sitting out on our counter. It is absolutely untainted. You cannot mar this and kept in heaven. What other offers do you have that even compare? What's even close to that? You can have the best security system on your house and still get broken into. They can put the most preservatives in your food and it'll still waste away. They can promise you free college, free everything, health care. By the way, nothing's ever free. And yet, all these things that come around us always seems to fall through. Always seems to drift away. Always seems to fade. Always becomes tainted. Somebody always messes it up. We think we have the perfect plan, and yet it always falls short. So we come back to this moment of seeing how our salvation is likened to an inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, doesn't fade, and reserved in heaven for you. That's what I want. That's what I hope in, because Christ is risen. And to top it all off, if you jump into verse 5, you'll see we're secure because God is our guard. It says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. The whole idea of that word being kept is that you're actually garrisoned within a city. I mean, he is holding you in this salvation. You can't mess with it. It's the power of God Almighty that is holding you there, your salvation. And guess what? You're going to see the fulfillment of that. We are not only going to be saved from the penalty of sin, but we're going to be saved from the presence of sin and the power of sin. We will be glorified. I mean, this is what we're hoping to, and it's not me that holds me there. It's God. He is my guard. The guard over my reserved seat in heaven with him. So as you look around you all over the place, there's a lot of questions that need to be answered, right? There's a lot of craziness. There's a lot of chaos. There's just everything. You don't know what the next day holds. What are they going to change next? What are they going to pull next? What are they going to make you do next? What's happening here? Does that happen the same way with Jesus Christ? Well, what's going to happen with my salvation next? Do I really have eternity secure in him? Is it going to fade away because I didn't do so well? Is my worth gone down the tubes as much as my retirement has? I mean, what's going on here? The most secure in all the world is my salvation. Doesn't matter who's president, who's governor, who's mayor. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter which is, if it's H1N1, coronavirus, mosquitoes. It doesn't matter. I can have the peace that passes all understanding based on what God's word tells me about my salvation. I wanted to read for you some of the lyrics that go right along with this whole idea of because he is risen. On a hill called Calvary stands an endless mercy tree. Every broken, weary soul, find your rest and be made whole. Stripes of blood that stain its frame, shed to wash away our shame. From the scars, pure love released, salvation by the mercy tree. in the spot between two thieves, hung the blameless Prince of Peace. Bruised and battered, scarred and scorned, sacred head pierced by our thorns. It is finished, was his cry. The perfect Lamb was crucified. His sacrifice, our victory, our Savior chose the mercy tree. Hope went dark that violent day. The whole earth quaked at love's display. 3 days silent in the ground, this body born for heaven's crown. On that bright and glorious day, when heaven opened up the grave, he's alive and risen indeed. Praise him for the mercy tree. Death has died, love is won. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ has overcome. He's risen from the dead. And one day soon we'll see his face. Every tear he'll wipe away. No more pain or suffering. Praise him for that mercy tree. Death has died. Love has won. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus Christ has overcome. He is risen from the dead. Because he is risen, I can be the most secure in my salvation in all the world. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for all that you have done, what you've proven to us, what you hold in your hands. It's me. It's me. It's all those that are saved. God, we thank you. You are praiseworthy. In the midst of the storm, we can have peace because he is risen. Because he's resurrected from the dead, conquering sin and death. God, we thank you so much for all of this. In Jesus' name, amen. In these last moments, I would encourage you to make some decisions, to remember what Easter was all about, all that Christ did for you, for me. And how should you pray right now? Should you choose salvation? Should you choose life? Just pray right now. You don't have to wait for some priest to let you know what to do or to confess your sins to. You can go directly to God and ask him to save you from your sins, to ask for forgiveness. Repent. There's a change of mindset, no longer focused on self, no longer focused on my selfish ways and sin. I want to serve God. That's what you need to do today. That's your decision. Pray. If you're a Christian here today, pray. Thank God for all that he's done for you. But everything's going on around me. It's bad. Pray. Thank God that you are the most secure in all the world because of your salvation, because he is risen. Intercede on behalf of others. Pray that God would help others to know the truth so that they can be set free by that truth. God is good all the time. Thank you.
the Son. I believe in the risen one. I believe I overcome by the power of his blood. Amen. Amen. I'm alive because he lives. Amen. Amen. Let my song join the one that never ends, because he lives.
He lives.